Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Happy Sunday.
Yes.
I said, okay, we don't have church last week, right? I said, so pastor just like take his week on my week. And then he was like, you ready next week? And I was like, yeah, okay, got it. Amen. All right, let's pray. And then we can go ahead and get started. Today's very interesting. Very interesting. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving us your word, for giving us insight, for giving us you in your word. Lord, thank you for your manifestation of yourself in Jesus. Thank you for the constant help that we get from the Holy Spirit, Lord. And today, just allow us to relearn some things that we may have thought we knew, but just allow us to adopt a new perspective. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to take this off. Okay, so today I am coming from Proverbs chapter 28, verses 13 and 14. And then I'm going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. And then I'm going to go to Psalms chapter 32 and chapter 51. And they all are connected. Amen. So we know that Solomon wrote Proverbs. Amen. And so 2 Samuel is about his dad, David. And then he ended up writing the Psalms that we know. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 28, verses 13 and 14. One who conceals his wrongdoings will not prosper, but one who confesses and abandons them will find compassion. How blessed is the person who fears always, but one who hardens his heart will fall into disaster. And so today I have two essential questions. I finally got to use the screen. It's been 3 years. I'm like, Lord, I want a screen. And so my essential questions today is, how does confession abolish sin? And then how does repentance abolish sin differently than confession? Because sometimes we give confession and repentance the same thing, and it is not. Amen? Amen. So let's start with some words. Confess in the Greek is homologio or exomologio, right? To confess and or to acknowledge openly.
Okay.
That's in the Greek. Repentance in the Greek, though, is metatonian, changing one's mind and coming to a new way of thinking. And then I went back in the Old Testament because it's in Hebrew. Repentance in Hebrew is shuv, which means the idea of turning back, retracing one's steps in order to return to the right way.
Okay.
So confession is just saying that you acknowledge it. Where repentance is, I have to change the way that I walk.
Okay. Thank you.
Confession is having remorse. Repentance is killing your pride to do the right thing.
Okay.
Confession is agreeing with God's truth. Repentance is surrendering to God's truth and yielding to God's truth. So they both are verbs, action words. You know, I'm a teacher. I love teaching. Right. However, confession is more so a state of being where you are at the time.
Okay.
Whereas repentance is actually walking that thing out.
Okay.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
So in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, this is where David had his encounter with Bathsheba. And so in the middle of that chapter of 11, it says that David groaned and moaned and he didn't eat and he fasted and all those things. And then Nathan comes up and says, hey, you got to confess that thing that you did. You slept with homeboy's wife and you killed homeboy and you didn't set the baby yours. The baby ended up dying because that was sin.
Right.
And so now where are you? And so Nathan convinces David that he has to confess and repent of it. Now, it doesn't specifically say in 2 Samuel how David repented. However, in verse 23, Bathsheba wasn't his wife. In verse 24, she was. So all that time prior to verse 24 in chapter 11, she was just the wife of Uriah. She was whoever. She was the adulteress, if you will. Verse 24, she became his wife. Verse 25 and 26, here comes Solomon immediately.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so one thing that we have to understand is that sometimes our walk isn't aligned because we haven't confessed and walked it out, repented it. I was doing a study in the Bible dictionary, and in repentance it said that it's a continuous thing. And sometimes we're taught that it's just right then and there. Because I was like, well, if I want to drink today, okay, I got it, I ain't going to do it. What about tomorrow, though, Lord? What if I want to smoke tomorrow? What, am I going to keep repenting? And the Lord was like, yes. And I was like, but we aren't taught to keep repenting. We're taught that repentance is one time. It's a continuous verb. You got to keep repenting. You got to keep aligning yourself. You got to keep walking this thing out. Because we always confess. We always say, my bad, Lord. I'm sorry. But do we say, let me go back, figure out what the root is, and let me change my ways so that I do this less than what I did yesterday?
Right.
And so David says, you know what? Let me marry her. Let me make this right. Let me stop being promiscuous, if you will, because he's the king. He gets what he wants. And low-key, if she would have said no to him, he could have put her to death because he's the king. And so sometimes we use our authority like that. We say, well, I'm saved, but we don't seal the deal.
No, we don't.
Confessions give us forgiveness.
Yeah.
Repentance gives us righteousness.
Right.
And so we walking around and we say, yeah, I'm forgiven, but are we walking righteously? For other people to see. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Ooh. So, here we go. I was able to put a diagram together. And so when we confess our sins, we are sending them up to God and acknowledging that we need forgiveness. Amen. When we are repenting, we are intentionally walking obedience out for righteousness' sake. There's something in geometry called a right angle. Right here is the perfect degree, quote unquote. That's Jesus for us. That's why that heart is there. When we confess our sins and we repent, we are completely aligning to God's word, and we are at the cornerstone trusting him. Amen.
Okay.
1 John 1:9, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes.
We need this piece right here. You can't get the perfect degree without confessing and repenting.
Okay.
So if you're only confessing, you're not walking it out, maybe.
Right. All right.
Sometimes we're walking it out, but we're not confessing. We just walk in the same steps we did already.
Okay.
And in repentance, it says to turn back, retrace, and to go back to redo.
Okay.
We don't like that part.
Okay.
David did not like when Nathan said, you're wrong. Why would you do that? He said, I can do what I want. I'm the king. Then he said, in Psalms 51, that's the psalm of repentance from David for specifically doing what he did with Bathsheba. Specifically.
Wow.
Very interesting. I said, so what is he repenting for? Is he repenting for having been indulged in adultery? What is he repenting for? And he's repenting for sin in itself, for even falling to that trap of being tempted and falling into there.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know what? I forgot I was made of flesh. Because remember, David used to be a shepherd. So at some point, David gets big-headed.
Okay.
Because I was a shepherd, then I became a soldier, and now I'm the king. And I do what I want. And I wanted her, and I had her. But then when I realized, Rebecca, what it really did and how that really wasn't aligned with God's word, after watching that baby die, it hurt David when that baby died.
Yeah.
He groaned and moaned and stopped eating and everything. And the minute Nathan said, come confess and repent and everything, David got up and ate. And he said, I had to keep going. And then here comes Solomon. And so sometimes the one thing that we're waiting on, God is waiting for us to confess and repent. We've been waiting. Lord, when I'm going to change this? When is it going to change about me? He said, you haven't even intentionally walked this thing out. You didn't even try. You just said, I'm sorry, and you waited. One of the things I'm going through with my daughter right now, Hunter. Hunter's a brat. Yeah. Naomi told me when she was about 3, and I was like, I think she's just a little, you know, with her being my only child and things, right? And so Then I asked her to do something, and she looked at me. And I'm like, I done dealt with plenty of kids, and kids do what I say. And I'm like, the one I pushed out is staring at me like this is an option? And if anybody knew my mama, you don't get an option. You get to do what she said. Adult and all, grown and all. You get to do what she said, or you get to $5. And so then Naomi one day told me, she was like, you're gentle parenting, Hunter. And I was like, don't call me a gentle parent. But then when she looked at me the other day, I said, I think I'm gentle parenting around here. Especially when there's stuff all over the floor. And daddy will tell you, I was not the tidiest of children, right? And so I did not think that those things transferred to our children. Don't judge me. Judgment free John. Don't judge me. So I'm in the hallway. I'm like, why is it stuff ever? Okay, you got to get this up. She looked at me and she was like, okay. And Miss Deborah, I said, what you going to do? Nothing. You're not about to do it? She was like, mommy, I'm sorry. For what? Okay, I'm about to do it. I said, baby, you better figure something out because in a minute you're going to be at Papa House. So then she said, she said, I don't want to do it right now, but I'm sorry. Oh. And I'm like, is this happening? Like, is this really happening? And so, Aletrius, what happened was when she was 18 months, I popped her for touching a plug and she had an asthma attack. And so ever since then, I've had this like fear that like I was gonna kill her. Well, this time, Miss Deborah, I put the inhaler in my pocket. And I said, get this stuff off the floor now. And she said, okay, and she started moving slow. And then I thought about daddy, and I was like, this would have been on Polk Street. We would have been beat half to death by now. This must be gentle parenting. And so I was like, Lord, I need to talk to you about this parenting I got going on. Because this is not working out. And he asked me, he said, do you make her acknowledge when she breaks the rules at home? And I was like, not really. I mean, one kid is easy. When you got 3-4 of them running around, now you got to have some structure. But the one, you could just be like, whatever. And then he said, do you make her change her ways? Because we got a problem with homework too, y'all. She's a straight A student. Don't finish the work. I know it, I'm done. And get an A on the test. So I'm like, I'm confused as to what we're doing here. But hey, here we are. And he said, do you make her change her ways? The Lord challenges us every day to change our ways. The Holy Spirit challenges us to confess our faults. Do we do it? Because he's a gentleman. He's not going to make us. He's just going to be like, hey, did you talk about that yet? Hey, did you say sorry for that yet? Hey, you going to change your ways yet? And you'll be like, I'm going to do it. No, nothing. I'm not going to do it. He's standing there staring, looking like Hunter. And then when the punishment comes, the consequence,
Right.
Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Why is my car broken? Did you do what you were supposed to do? Why is my bank account empty? That was my biggest question. So last year when I start tithing regularly. And I was like, I got some extra money for a purse. Look at the Lord. And so are we intentionally confessing and repenting so we can intentionally align with God's word? When Jesus came, when John the Baptist came and he was interceding for Christ, he said what? Repent, because what? Kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did Jesus say? Repent. Did he say confess? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I said, I'm about to pass out. I was sitting at the Bible like, ooh, I'm about to pass out. Because think about it. They were already confessing. That's what all the sacrifices was for. So when are you going to change your ways? Stop dragging that goat to say sorry and change your ways. And I was like, Lord, this is running for Christ today. What is happening? This is the message. But sometimes we get so caught up in, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, help me, Lord. He's like, I want you to do something about it. I want you to put some action behind that verb, behind that state of being. I want you to get up and go do something. I want you to align yourself with my word because it's possible. Jesus already came with perfect alignment. So all we have to do is surrender and say, you know what, Lord? You right. You got it. Not me. This one thing that's been plaguing you for 30 years might be because you haven't aligned it. Okay. And listen, just lie less. Just cuss less. Just when you about to cuss, be, oh, nope, I'm going to say this instead. That was for me, the line and the cussing. Because I lie to get out of anything. I don't want to do it. I'd be like, stomach hurt. Just lie less. If you know you ain't supposed to eat past a certain time and you end up doing it, then do one less minute or something. Figure something out. But we have to intentionally walk this thing out because a mustard seed moves a mountain. So we thinking we need all of this extravagant movement, and God is like, one little piece and I'll push you away. Pneuma, breath. I'll push it away. What does the wind do? Move things along. And so when we align ourselves, when we get in that degree, that 90 degree box, that perfect angle, the cornerstone, we understand that this is the essential piece. We always confess and we never repent. Or we change our ways and we don't confess the roots of things. Yeah. I gotta throw up. That's what it feel like up here. But we sometimes we have to acknowledge that I'm not good at acknowledging things. I'm really good at running away from things and avoiding them. And the Lord was like, I want you to acknowledge the fact that you might have been repenting wrong. And that's okay. And no, it's not our job to say, you repented wrong, you did this wrong, you did this wrong. That's Jesus' job. That's God's job. That's the Holy Spirit's job to convict us. That's not our job to convict other people of what they need to repent of.
Okay. I'm out to say that.
Because you're not walking this thing out with them. When Nathan came up to David, he wasn't, you bald. He was like, hey, brother, you got to make this right because the Lord sees you. That gentle admonishment, always, Rebecca always, she be, hey, you got to change like this. Please don't say it loud. Please don't say it loud. But sometimes we have to be that. Sometimes the Lord puts people into our lives that we know need alignment because we might be walking that out a little bit. We want to wait until our bucket is completely full and the Lord is like, hey, that little mustard seed, you got to share that real quick. Somebody's drowning. You have to share that. You have to help them. And that's what Jesus was saying. Repent. Change your mind. The kingdom of heaven is here. Anything that you knew about anything else, I'm here to change your mind about it. That's why he was in, one of the kids asked me, I think Tuesday or Wednesday, he was like, Miss Sarah, why Jesus tear the temple up? I was like, why you ask me that today? It's 8 o'clock in the morning. You talking about kicking chairs over. And he was like, Miss Sarah, that was sin. And I was like, first of all, Jesus ain't sin. So wait. And second of all, I said they were doing things that weren't according to God's truth. So here comes truth. Repent, change your mind. I'm here to abolish that trash. And it's okay. We've learned things. We've adapted things. We've investigated things. And some things have stained our souls, if you will. And so that's when Jesus comes in and cleans us up. Amen? Amen. All right. Let me see. Sending our confessions up and walking our repentance out creates that perfect alignment for our purpose. We always, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? What's my purpose? I can't find purpose outside of that 90 degree. If Jesus is the cornerstone, if he's the foundational piece for your life, then why wouldn't he be the foundational piece for your purpose? And he stayed right there. Remember, in the flesh, y'all know, it's a lot going on up there. We don't even know half the stuff that be going up there until it's going on. You be like, did I see that on TV? What's going on in my mind? And so then you have to go back and pray to realign yourself. Harley was asking me, she's having a hard time, not with friends. She's the bossy one. And I taught her that on accident. I said, babes, you you've been around me so long that you've adapted my characteristics, and being bossy is one of them. I'm so sorry. And so she was like, mine. I was like, I'm so sorry. But I told her, I said, you have to now be intentional about Bible study, because you have to walk that bossy thing out. Only you deal with that sin in you at the time. My bossy doesn't look like Naomi's bossy. Ooh, it doesn't at all. However, the same verse might apply to both of us differently. And so that's why we have to don't forsake yourselves. I was at Bible study. I was like, I'm going to say something today. I'll just be here listening, washing dishes. I'm going to sit down today. I'll be doing all kinds of stuff during Bible study. It'd be good, though. But at the same time, some people need to know that you're there for them in the Bible, with the Spirit, in Bible study with them, so they know who has their back. I'm going to help her not be bossy, y'all. I told her, I said, you're going to need that bossiness when you're in college telling people what to do. When you out giving presentations and things, because I saw it. I said, you're going to need that. But right now, just stay humble, homegirl. I got you. And that's what the Lord does. The Lord says, bring it to me so I can tell you how to do it. Discretion. We like to do it ourselves. We confess what we want to confess, and we want to walk it out how we want to walk it out. You already know. No, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. My feet hurt. I'm done walking today, Lord. He'd be like, you are not done walking this thing out. I'm done walking that thing out. It is what it is. I'm going to die with that sin. That's the one. I'm taking this one to the grave. Taking it to the grave. I'm taking this sin to the grave. It's never, nothing's going to change about me. Not this one. I changed that part, but I won't change this part. That's me. And he was like, we're going to change all these parts. And I was like, okay. But he does that because you are righteous when you repent. You get forgiveness when you confess. You already know, if we don't forgive others, we aren't forgiven. If we don't confess, we're not forgiven. There's a lot of stuff that prohibits our forgiveness. I don't want to prohibit no forgiveness with the Lord. So we have to align ourselves and walk this thing out. Amen. Some verses for Jesus being a foundation. Isaiah 28:16, Ephesians 2:17-22, Romans 2:1-5, and then of course 1 John 1:9. Amen. Amen. It was very, when I was reading Psalms 51 and Psalms 32, they are in the notes, they are specifically called the penitential Psalms. I was like, penitential? He was like, yeah. I said, penitentiary? And he was like, yeah. But what are penitentiaries for? To get you to change your behavior. So when David was writing these, he felt imprisoned by his sin. Amen. Okay. And he wanted God to come in and help him. And of course, we know God did that. Oh, yeah. We know Jesus came and we did that. But the most, one of the things that I almost missed, I said, what? David, David, David. Jesus came from David's bloodline.
Yes.
David had to do this thing and walk this thing out. He had to, mistakes and all. God had to be intentional with that. And David had to be intentional with God. And that's why Solomon had to be intentional and everybody else after that. However, we know that David also wasn't intentional with some kids of his own. And Israel became divided because of that. So what are we intentional about? Because the things that we don't confess and repent of, our kids do it. Hunter. I was like, oh man, she acts just like me. What are we going to do? We're asking ourselves, why do these kids do this? Why do they do this? Why is nobody? Because we, as the body of Christ, may not be aligning ourselves in confession and repentance. We just say it and make it look good. We don't walk it out. So that's why we're being called hypocrites. That's how I be at the table when he be dropping bombs. I be like, man, is anybody in here with me? But that's why we're called that. Because we say one thing, but we do what? We're not repenting. And we think the repentance is tied into the confession. And it's not. That's just us telling God, hey, I know I messed up. But now, let's walk this thing out. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for giving us the tools to align ourselves. We ask that you continue to groom us in a way that only motivates the Holy Spirit to work in us, Lord. And we ask that any temptations or any pressures or any sins or faults that might come to us, Lord, that we don't function in shame, Lord. We just confess them to you and walk this thing out right. Thank you again for being merciful and kind. Thank you for mercy and grace being a manifestation of repentance and confession. And we just ask that as we move forward, that we change our perspective of how we look at things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.